fighting the socialists in Washington, exposing the nonsense in Congress, restoring common sense to government. It's Common Sense Radio with your host, Pete Rehm. We the people must make a stand. So let your voice be heard and call Pete now at 343-0106.
All right. Welcome to Common Sense Radio. That's right. Another week has flown by and it is already Thursday night and you're right where you should be in front of your radio at 8 p.m. listening to Common Sense Radio. You could be listening to us on TuneIn Radio or you'd be streaming us somewhere across the country on FMTalk1065.com. Or just on your truck radio or your home radio, wherever it is, you can get us. And how is it possible that you can get us on all those different mediums that we come every week with extreme regularity, that even though Mardi Gras has passed and calm has descended on South Alabama and people are going back about their lives and you think that boredom might overtake those? No, not here. We have laser focus. Because we have the most award-winning engineer who absolutely, his eye is on the ball, his eye is on the electrons to make sure they get it to you. They get to you with our voice, with our message, and that's all because our award-winning engineer, co-host, executive producer, all-around nice guy, and yes, ladies, he's single, Mark Holliday.
Thank you, Pete. I appreciate the kind words, as always.
Yes, he has profiles on many different apps.
That's,
check him out.
Unfortunately, that's not too far from the truth.
You can find him. Fortunately, the FCC can't. That's good for all of us.
I
that way we get
so.
To keep it.
Yeah, yeah.
All right. And to bring decorum and dignity, we have a quality assurance director is in the house. She's always here to lend her insight and try to make this show somewhat worthwhile and give it some redeeming value to you, the listener. She's also executive producer and co-host and the Gold Star wife, United States Coast Guard, Teresa Taylor.
It's back. Great to be here. The Mardi Gras week. Which, well, for moms is a big deal because the kids are out of school all week.
Are they out all week? Mm-hmm. I didn't know if they went back.
Week here in Mobile.
So you're kind of going stir crazy
well,
by this point.
Well, it's just a lot. Yeah. A little bit of a different.
It's time for them to go
but
back.
But you can breeze right through the school zones.
Yeah, that's true.
The school zones are 2, 3 o'clock, you can breeze right through the
right
school
through.
Zones.
So there is a benefit. But yeah. So everybody got
wonky.
Through Mardi Gras okay?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
We had just our share. I was about done Sunday.
It wears its welcome out quickly, doesn't it?
It does.
I mean, that's the best way to.
I didn't go downtown Tuesday. A lot of times we go watch the parades Tuesday from our because my office is right downtown.
Yeah.
In the middle of all of it, it was it was cold. It's like we've done it.
Well, you've done it. Yeah, it kind of just.
And the older you get, the more you're like, okay, yes. I've done it.
But, you know, we take advantage or take it for granted because we're here and we can come and go. So.
But we like to do it.
It's always fun. It's fun. And then it's kind of fun that it ends.
Yeah. No, it's fun when it ends.
Yeah.
And then, you know,
same thing.
But then next year, we're just as excited. We want to do it all over again.
Yeah. That's right.
We're ready.
So, no, it was good.
But now
so.
We're tired.
Now we are tired. Yes. But, hey, it's March already. Can you believe it's March already?
Yes.
Although it still feels kind of wintry out there.
Well,
but I think warm
it's
weather.
Warming up today, tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
And
we're back
through the weekend.
The time
and then,
changes.
Time changes, yes.
Our public
happy.
Announcement for you, don't forget to spring forward on Saturday night to Sunday morning.
Right.
So there you go.
Yeah,
so
everybody.
It's not going to be dark now at 5:30 anymore.
Everybody get up Sunday morning, 2 a.m., to change your clocks.
Get up at 2 a.m. and do it.
Get up 2 a.m. Sunday morning to change your clocks. That's when it's happening.
Make it 3. So you might as well stay up all night.
Let your iPhone do it for you.
Yeah. I mean, you're up. You might as well. Just stay. Wait up and do it. Okay, look, there's always lots to go on. There's nothing really that crazy. It's, I mean, and I say that because, it's a constant din. And these things, you're like, oh, God.
You're used to the new normal.
Yeah, we're
because it's all crazy.
It is all crazy. So we are going to talk about the gas tax, and we got a guest be calling in here in a little bit. So we will be talking about that. But I want to get a couple things out that you may not see. We didn't have any terrorism, but I did know. You know what never gets published? It's like a huge mass of ISIS fighters surrendered.
Yeah,
in Iraq.
I saw that just now.
In the last stronghold, and I was kept looking for the number. How many did surrender?
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't find that, but it was a large mass. So it's just about over. It was U.S.-led Kurdish forces, and it's on the border between Iraq and Syria. A lot of jihadi brides were fleeing with their children, which they're going into encampments because, you know, a lot of them can't go back to where they came from. Like the one from Alabama has been denied.
Yeah.
She can't come back.
Exactly.
She said she's not a citizen. So, although there's a lawsuit on that, I don't know where it's going, but one of the good things I saw on there was a lot, I bring it up because it's totally forgotten. There was a large amount of Yazidis freed from this pocket where all these ISIS fighters surrendered here. It was either today or yesterday. It was in the last day or two. And people forget the Yazidis are the Christian minority in Iraq who were raped, pillaged, plundered, murdered. I mean, there's like 5,000 of them missing. And these are Christian Iraqis. They were carted off into sexual slavery and slavery. Awful, awful stories. And it just nobody really knows about it. But it was heartening to see that a bunch of them were freed today. So
unrelated. Are always tracking terrorism and things on that front. I don't think it's completely unrelated with our new freshman lady congresswoman
who are making
all kinds of noise about things. I mean, it's all connected. Now things are starting to connect more and more. I started following what is radical Islam, what is terrorism exactly, about 15 years ago. And it just hadn't picked up the moment. I read everything I could on it. And, I read a lot about infiltration and how our governments would. And, it was just hard to fathom. And it kind of clicked with me today. I'm thinking, I've been covering, really following this for 15 years. And it's coming
it's
to
happening.
Fruition mm-hmm. in front of, and now I see how the hatred for Donald Trump is actually allowing a lot of things just to become manifest.
The hatred for Jews, the open anti-Semitism.
Shocking.
I don't know if you saw it.
Shocking to me.
In West Virginia, there at the State House, I think it was last week, the Republicans had some kind of reception, and they had a lot of, I guess they had vendors or somebody was there, but they had tables.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And I don't know whether they were lobbyists or what they were. And at one of the tables, they had a big poster and said, of 9/11, the top was 9/11, a shot of the towers at 9/11 said, we should never forget. But then it says, but we have forgotten. And it shows the Minnesota representative who's making all the anti-Semitic remarks. Now, that apparently caused a huge row. And some of the Democrats actually in the West Virginia House almost got to the point of violence over it.
Right, right.
But I look at it and I go, wait a minute, there is something to that. This woman, she is openly anti-Semitic. She hates Israel. She constantly says that, but they don't even look back into her past where when she was back in Minnesota, there was a bill that was to block payments to terrorists. She voted against it. She voted against that bill. There was another incident where she got in and she there was a terrorist being sentenced and she was pleading for leniency for this guy.
Right, right.
I mean, isn't that sort of surreal to think, it was only, 18 years ago that we had this horrific attack on the United States mainland by radical Islam.
Right.
And now we're electing people who are putting in our government who are an awful lot like radical Islam.
That's kind of the realization, kind of this full circle moment where, when I could have never imagined.
No.
And now we're sitting here and we can't even get the Democrats to condemn.
And they won't even condemn her.
Exactly.
And the reason they won't, Lindsey Graham came out and said the reason they won't condemn her is because they are afraid of the radical left.
Exactly.
Because the radical left is standing up and defending her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because they hate Israel as well. Well, they hate anything conservative. They're defending her.
Is it too much of a stretch to think that they're brazen enough to go to Tucker Carlson's house with his wife there alone and terrorize her in their home? Is it any stretch to think that they won't show up at Lindsey Graham's house or McConnell's house or Jim Jordan's
house
or anybody who disagrees with them? This is very, very dangerous in this country,
folks.
Very dangerous.
The Nancy Pelosi's, they're the useful idiots. That's what they don't understand. You know, I think so many times liberals bend over backwards to show how tolerant they are and apologize, you know, just in an almost laughable way for these hateful people who hate America and hate what we stand for and hate Israel and the similar things they stand for. When it does get that bad, there'll be no deciphering. They won't say, hey, are you a Republican or a Democrat? You know, I mean, think about 9/11. It did not matter who was in that building.
No,
it's just the fact you're American.
They will come for all of us.
Correct.
Make no mistake. And look, I'll take it a step further. Really, I would submit, you know why the liberals really like Islam?
Why is that?
Because it's anti-Christian.
Well,
it's a counter to, they hate Christianity, and they love, they think they can extinguish Christianity by balancing it out with Islam, not realizing that Islam will not back down.
They want to replace Christianity with secularism,
with the government being the god. Yes.
Islam is not going to let that happen.
Not going to let that happen.
But they are smart enough to wait on it.
There's an Assyrian Christian woman who's demanding Omar's resignation, and you ought to listen to her. She's talking about.
Yeah.
She said you should go to her Minnesota District 5.
Yeah.
It's not like America there.
No, it's not.
If you go there, you would go, where am I?
Yeah, there's no, yes,
this
I've
is,
seen
and,
that.
And there's places, Dearborn, Michigan, there's places like that happening. And look, when they get in control, they're gonna enforce Sharia law. They're going to set it up. They're doing it in places like Dearborn and Minnesota.
It's
make no mistake.
Easier all the time.
All right, we got some guests coming up, and we will be right back with your calls at 251-343-0106.
Welcome back to Common Sense Radio with your host, Pete Rehm. To talk to Pete, call now at 343-0106.
All right, welcome back to Common Sense Radio. And hey, if you have automotive needs, I mean anything for your car, you need repairs, maintenance, whatever it is, you need to go to King's Automotive at 5450 Willis Road in Tillman's Corner. They're right there at I-10 and Highway 90. When you're heading south on 90, go under the interstate, you look to your right, they're right there. You come back on the switchback there on Willis Road, they're right there. King's Automotive. These are people you can trust with your car. Tom will troubleshoot it and figure out what's wrong. He won't just charge you for a bunch of parts until something is solved. He will try to figure out what's wrong, get you fixed, maintenance, all that. People you can trust. And the other thing is they also have budget-friendly cars.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're on a real budget, you need a second car for work, you got a kid, a high school or college kid, you need to get a car. They have got budget-friendly
cash cars. The best cash cars. They really are.
Really, really good deals on cash cars. Very, I mean, reasonable. You go down there, and you can't believe the prices, and you get a reliable car for that kid that you can't get out of your house. I got off the track there. But look, you need to go to King's Automotive at 5450 Willis Road for the royal treatment. Go see Tom and Marie. They will hook you up. All right. Look, the big news right now, or the big story in the state, is the gas tax.
Mm-hmm.
And there's been rumblings about it since last year. And apparently they have really this program is completely planned out and ready to go. And they got the governor on board. She called a special session.
The fix is in.
I think the fix is in. But to help us through that, to figure out how the fix is in, we have a guest with us, a senior fellow from the Alabama Policy Institute, which is a conservative think tank. Here, founded by Gary Palmer here in Alabama. And Pepper Breyer, senior fellow, joins us. Pepper, how are you doing tonight? Pepper, are you there? Did we lose you? What do we do?
You get the Thomas line.
Oh, sorry. Hold on.
Sorry, Thomas. See how well behaved Thomas was?
Very good. He said he would be.
Thomas was a good boy. Pepper, are you there?
I'm here, Pete. How y'all doing?
Good, good. Sorry, we pushed the wrong button for a second there. Look. Help step us through here how we got to where all of a sudden we have a special session and it looks like the fix is in. We're getting a 10-cent gas tax.
Well, you know, it's hard to believe that the Republicans seem to have given up their campaign promises for Lent, because we have a Republican-dominated legislature that seems to be on cruise control to raising the gas tax. There doesn't seem to be anything we can do about it.
No, there's no doubt. This thing is all set up. I know big business, particularly the Business Council of Alabama, is all in on this. They've worked very hard. I mean, you saw the as soon as we got here, all of a sudden, there's commercials all over radio and television about this, and they're putting it in. Now, the thing that I'd like to put out on the table, first of all, is we actually do have a need. We have an infrastructure problem. I don't know if we call it a crisis yet in Alabama, but we have a pretty big infrastructure problem. We've got a lot of roads and bridges that are inadequate. I mean, you can just drive around South Alabama, and there's so many roads that should have been four-laned or widened 20 years ago. We can't get Highway 98. I mean, Mississippi has been ahead of us on Highway 98 for, what, 30 years? It's crazy. So there is this huge need, and I think what we're seeing, and you let me know, Pepper, but I think what we see, it's been a failure of the state government to figure out how to get the money it needs through the revenue it has, because the current gas tax doesn't all go to it, to meet the needs. And since they have this failure, big business has said, okay, we need this done. You're holding us back economically. Since you can't solve it, we're coming up with a solution, and this is what we're going to do. I mean, is that kind of the way you see it?
Well, something like that, Pete. You know, the easiest thing for government to do to solve a problem is raise taxes, because
right.
That means they don't have to, you know, make some hard choices. It would be like automatically raising your salary if you had a problem in your household budget. You know, that's an easy fix. But we're talking about taking money out of the economy, and that should always concern everybody, even though it may be, you know, just $200 or $300 a year for everybody. Cumulatively, it's $300-something million out of the economy and into the government, and that is not a good idea. So, backing up for a second, I would like to affirm what you said earlier. You know, we at the Alabama Policy Institute took a look at this, and we believe that there's infrastructure needs in our state and roads and bridges, and don't forget that port that we have in Mobile as
right,
well.
That's part of it.
That's an economic engine, and we need to make some improvements there. I've heard stories about, you know, some big container ships having to anchor out at, you know, in the bay waiting for a place to get in or not having room to get in. We can't have that. But we believe that we can take care of this by reprioritizing the taxes we currently have. In effect, just redoing some things down below the threshold that we have right now, not raise taxes, but do what's called a revenue neutral tax package, raise the gas tax maybe for roads, but lower the taxes somewhere else, possibly on the grocery tax to help, you know, low-income folks, or possibly some of the business taxes so you can, you know, encourage economic activity. And, you know, do a pro-growth tax reform plan, not just a standalone tax increase.
Just get a bunch of new revenue and not fix. And that's really what the problem is. We're not fixing the problems we already have in our budget. There's no reform. And I think this kind of goes to a trust issue, right? We don't trust the Alabama state government to be good custodians of our money. So we're really, really hesitant to give them more money. And there was a lobbyist who came to one of our chamber meetings late last year, and I asked him, and you have some answers on this. I said, so how much of the current gas tax goes to roads and bridges? Does it all go? You're telling me all of this will go. Does all of it we're doing now go? And the answer was no. And I think you have some clarification. We have 18 cent,
sure.
An 18-cent gas tax right now. How much does it generate total, and how much is actually going to roads and bridges, and how much is being siphoned off?
Right, so 18 cents on a gallon of gas, that generates about $540 million a year for the state for roads and bridges. However, 12% of that, roughly $63 million, is siphoned off every year to go to fund parts of the Alabama Law Enforcement Agency and the courts. Not that those things don't need to be funded, but if you're going to sell me a package that says, you know, this gas tax is to fund road and bridges, well, Let's just make that clean and simple and have it fund road and bridges. Don't have it fund other parts of the government. It's in effect when you don't really solve the core of a problem and you just add money on top of it, that's the definition of throwing good money after bad.
Exactly.
Right?
And that's what gets the citizens up in arms.
Yeah, and another thing, two other things that should, you know, should concern folks is the speed at which this is happening, from introduction to discussion to passage and enactment, is going to be just a few days.
Oh, no, they're going to get this done.
Yeah, haste makes waste, you know, and we can't do this quickly and know all of the unintended consequences that might happen.
Yeah, but I think the fix is in. They've lined this out. They got a strategy to, although they have the strategy to get it passed, although I think a lot of Republican lawmakers are going to suffer in the next election because of this. I don't think they're going to be able to withstand the assault that's going to come, or the backlash that will come on them for being part of this. But again, it just goes to the whole trust issue. Why can't you all fix what you've got? I mean, and I'll throw out some, I'm going to get in trouble for saying this. I could support some kind of increase because we really need it. And I think if people knew that everything was being done to make sure we got where we needed to go, or got the money in the right place, they would support it. Why not a more incremental approach to say, look, this is what we're going to do. We're going to pass 3 cents because we're behind. We've screwed up for the next 2 or 3 years. And over that time, we're going to go and try to get that, what, $60 million that you said or so that's not going to it, and get as much of that back towards the roads, and then see where we are in a couple of years and say, okay, do we need another penny or two? You know, straighten out what we've done. And also, I think I like the revenue neutral approach of saying, okay, we'll cut wherever taxes on groceries are at. So the impact on the average folks is basically neutral.
Or offset.
It's an offset. I mean, it sounds like that's what y'all are advocating.
Yes, and we're hopeful that we might see that at the end. You know, we have a plan that has been proposed. We still have the ability to impact it. We have some good conservatives in our state legislature that believe in revenue-neutral tax reform. So we're hoping that the people will contact their lawmakers and say, hey, if you're asking me to pay $300 more at the gas station, then help me pay $300 less at the grocery store.
Yeah,
right.
I like that too.
No,
yeah,
I think that could pass. I mean, if we could see they're actually trying to reform the budget, make it neutral, I think there could be some more trust. But just coming, I mean, let me ask you this, because we're up against the break here. Is there any chance that this thing doesn't pass? I mean, it looks to me like they've got this on the glide path, and it's going to happen.
Well, a lot of people are looking for the reforms and the offsets. And we've heard, you know, promising talk of that. But if it's just a standalone tax increase, it might have trouble getting out of the Senate.
Okay. Where, what's your website? Where can we get more information?
AlabamaPolicy.org.
AlabamaPolicy.org. I know you've got a couple of opinion pieces on that, some columns that you can get there. We'll try to post them on our Facebook page. But, hey, Pepper, we really appreciate you joining us and give us a little insight to what's going on. Keep us posted on what's going on with that. We really appreciate your inputs.
Will do. Thank you.
All right, Pepper. Thank you. There he goes. Pepper Breyer, senior fellow at the Alabama Policy Institute. Got to get that right. Okay. And folks, look, we'll get to your calls and texts at 251-343-0106.
Welcome back to Common Sense Radio with your host, Pete Rehm. To talk to Pete, call now at 343-0106.
All right, welcome back to Common Sense Radio. And hey, at the bottom of the hour, bring aboard a special sponsor, ABC Signs and ABC Shirts. That is your headquarters for custom-made dry-fit shirts, bold colors, whatever you want on them. They'll help you with the graphics for your family reunion, your employees, your sports team, whatever you want. Or signs, custom-made signs for your mega garage sale to clean out for spring cleaning, or just you want to put something in there like I support the blue, or you want to run for you've lost your mind and you want to run for office, or you just want a sign out front that says I love Mark Holliday, whatever
it
is.
Or just getting your own shirts.
All of it. Shirt, sign, ABC signs, and shirts. Go to abcshirts.biz, B-I-Z, or abcsigns.biz, B-I-Z, and they bring wit and wisdom from our 40th president, Ronald Wilson Reagan.
Back in 1927, an American socialist, Norman Thomas, six times candidate for president on the Socialist Party ticket, said the American people would never vote for socialism. But he said under the name of liberalism, the American people will adopt every fragment of the socialist program. There are many ways in which our government has invaded the precincts of private citizens, the method of earning a living. But at the moment, I'd like to talk about another way, because this threat is with us, and at the moment, is more imminent, more imminent, more imminent.
And that was from 1961.
Yeah.
Public service announcement. Ronald Reagan did. I think a GE.
Made good use of that tin can, didn't he?
Yes, he did. And he, in 1961, and what he was getting into was socialized medicine. But I picked that because of the Democrats going totally socialist wild. I mean, totally unabashedly, the New Green Deal, everything. And this week's column is The Seduction of Socialism. And really, you can go to the Call News or the Washington County News or the Tri-City Ledger or the Post up in Cherokee County, wherever, and you can find the column this week. But it, really what it boils down to, socialism, the seduction is security, that you don't have to worry about anything. We're going to feed you. We'll house you. We'll give you medicine. We'll give you what you want. But the trick is they decide what you get. You can't get more. You want more? More? You're not getting more. You only get what they allow.
Wasn't it Benjamin Franklin who said, and I could be wrong, could be another of the founding fathers, who said that if you're willing, anybody willing to give up freedom for security deserves nor will get either.
Right.
That's correct. Right. I thought of that same quote. Yeah,
it was either him or Patrick Henry, but I think it was Franklin.
And, you know, you can just look at public education, and that's the best example. I mean, first of all, think about Congress. Most of their kids. How many of their kids go to public school? So, you know, if what the government's offering is so wonderful, why are their kids not going there?
No,
and then think about, again, just selection and the idea that, you know, you're going to have things as you know it when the government gives it to you is just, it's just a lie.
And the 2 points on the seduction really is, one is that our education system over the last couple of decades, it now teaches our children to hate capitalism, that it's mean, oppressive, and cruel, it's unfair. And that we're a pirate nation, so we're to be hated, that we stole it. We didn't build this country. We stole it,
right?
And then
fully formed.
Fully formed. And then what they believe, they're hopeless. They don't believe they can ever achieve independence on their own. They don't believe they can ever afford health care unless old rich white guys pay for it.
Exactly.
They believe they've got to go get – there's only a finite amount of wealth. They got to go get it. So – The Seduction of Socialism, go read it. But look, people want to talk about the gas tax. That's what's on everybody's mind, is that stinking gas tax that they're trying to pass up there. Let's go on line two. Thomas has been holding patiently. So, Thomas, what do you got for the gas tax?
Well, good evening, Pete, Teresa. I love
good
you,
evening.
Mark.
Thank you.
Thank you for having me on. And you're right, Ben Franklin did say that, Mark. And he also said a kitten would be the king of the forest or the jungle if mice were elephants.
Which makes about as much sense as socialism.
Exactly.
I love it.
There you go, Thomas.
Yeah, you got to think about that for a little while.
Yeah, I'm going to ponder that later.
this tax, they figured this out last year, and it was ready to go. And the only one that really has said anything so far is Peter Albrecht from TV5. And he said, Ivy didn't say anything during the election. It was only 4 months ago. They did this on purpose, not putting it out early before so they could pay for it and it would be on the ballot, but 4 months after, 8 months out from the next November. So the planning was there. And Bill Poole, a mental midget, I wish I could go toe-to-toe with that guy one day, formed this whole thing to put this thing together. And what they're doing, I agree, it sounds like a pretty good plan. It's going to raise about $300 million a year. That you could do all sorts of things with this. But the way they went about it is that they're subverting democracy. The Constitution, we can vote on this. And they took that vote away from us just by saying, oh, it's too expensive. It is not, it wasn't, they put a price tag on democracy, letting us vote on it. They took it away and said, oh, it's just too much. And there were, some guy was asked today, John asked, oh, a couple of million, that's nothing. Special sessions sometimes cost $1.5 million, Mark, you know that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah,
right.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, and this is about democracy. This is autocrats.
Yeah, but Thomas, I see here, it's a failure or an incompetence of our state government to provide what we need in infrastructure. They have been totally unable, incapable, unwilling, whatever it is. I don't know if it's unable, unwilling, incapable to figure out how to reform the budget, raise the proper funds to take care of our infrastructure. So what we're seeing is big business recognizes the need and it says, look, you are hamstringing our economic development. You are not solving it. So we have come up with a solution and this is what you're going to do. That's what we're seeing.
Why don't the trust factor? They always say, well, you don't trust the politicians. Hell no, because they do this kind of crap all the time. And it's subverting democracy. She is a fascist. She should go. She should be locked up. This is treason.
Well, look, there's no coincidence they've got her doing this after she got reelected, knowing full well she's not going to run for reelection.
Yeah.
is all sort of planned out the way they've got it. But again, it's because they have failed over the years to solve the problem, and the business community has come together and said, it's got to be solved. You can't do it. We can't wait on you any longer. I mean, part of this is because of the port. 25% of this money goes to the port to widen and deepen the channel.
And that's right.
75% of that money is federal money. Don't think that Senator Shelby doesn't have a stake in this, because he's pretty much told the state, you got to come up with 25% before we move forward.
But tell me why they can't trust the Republicans come to us and have a time so we can discuss it. There's no time, like the fellow before me said, there's no discussion time, there's no nothing, and they don't believe that we can make a right decision. And have a little...
I don't disagree with that. I say it again. I put it back on the legislature. It's because the state government, our legislators, can't figure it out. So somebody had to streamline this and put it in the basket for them where they couldn't get away from it because they won't get it done. And they haven't got it done. Because, look, this need is not new. We've been struggling for infrastructure for a couple of decades now. This is not a new problem. It's just gotten to a point where it's pretty bad.
And it's hurting development.
And it's hurting economic development.
Thank you so much for the time.
All right, Thomas, thank you. Let's go to line four. LD, the mad trucker, he's on the road. He's going to be paying more taxes.
I'm mad as hell. I'm mad as hell. Let me tell you something, Pete. You know where this money's going to. It's going straight to Birmingham. It's going straight to anywhere north of Birmingham. We're not going to see any infrastructure improvements here whatsoever. Now, they may dredge out the river, but they're not going to six-lane I-10 from Mississippi to Florida, which should have been done 20 years ago.
Right. They're not going to finish 98.
Yeah,
they're not going to finish 98.
No, they're not going to finish 98. That bridge looks like the that movie that Will whatever his name was in where it was abandoned forever. There's nothing there but deer walking on the bridge now.
Now,
let me tell you how much do you think they paid for that?
Yeah, no, and I see. And here's another aspect that they're talking about up there. Now I don't know if it's in the bill yet, but they're talking about it, and this shows again the failure of the legislature. They're talking about making a special road commission for the state, which is supposed to be bipartisan, nonpartisan, of appointed officials to decide where the needs are so that it doesn't get all sent to, you know, like Birmingham or whatever by the legislature because of whatever corruption and whatever else they're doing up there. But again, what that shows is we can't trust the legislators. We elect them to do the job, and since they can't do the job, they're going to create another commission. And I will tell you, if you've dealt with any other commissions up there, like the Veterans Commission or the Insurance Commission, you'll find out they're totally corrupt as well. LD, LD's on the road. He's out of range.
Oh, there's an interesting text that came through.
Which one would?
About toll roads.
Yeah, James in Alberta said, would toll roads be cheaper on average people than paying taxes in our gas in a year's time? Perhaps. I mean, they're talking that the new I-10 bridge is going to be a toll road.
Yeah.
But let us not forget that this gas tax has nothing to do with the new I-10 bridge.
No.
Funding for the bridge is completely separate from this entirely.
From all this. Yeah. So,
because we're probably going to have tolls and taxes.
Tolls and taxes.
In the end, probably we'll have both.
I think the answer to James is to try to, if you're going to pay X amount more in gas tax, you try to reduce your grocery tax. So the average person, it's not that big of a change. But the reality is we do need it. And, we might have to pay a little bit more for it. But they need to do it the right way. And they need to gain our trust that they are doing it the right way. And it kind of seems they're just forcing it down our throats. And I get it. James from Florida says, don't become Florida.
Good point.
All right, look, we got some people holding. Let's go to the break, and we'll come right back and get everybody online. Kevin, I know you're holding. We're getting to you right after the break.
Welcome back to Common Sense Radio with your host, Pete Rehm. To talk to Pete, call now at 343-0106.
All right, welcome back to Common Sense Radio, and just a couple of quick news items out there. I know you've noticed that it's been kind of cold. We've had some Arctic blasts. Cold records have been shattered around the country. Minnesota set a record for February snow. Colorado had the coldest beginning of March it's ever had. Even in Los Angeles, they were setting cold records there. But don't worry, because there's a group of women in the United Kingdom that are on birth strike. They are proposing a baby ban to prevent eco-Armageddon.
So it's going to warm
up. So the good news for folks is liberals are apparently getting onto the bandwagon of not reproducing to save the planet. And I just want to come out and say I endorse that.
Absolutely.
All Democrats and liberals do not reproduce to save the planet.
Right.
There you go. That's your your green love deal there.
Not the Margaret Sanger type, but
if you choose, just don't
reproduce.
If you're a liberal, don't really produce because you're going to save the planet. Do your part.
Talking about the cold in Minnesota, and I'm digressing right now, but have you ever wondered what is the mental process of somebody who's coming from Somalia to settle in the northernmost part of this country?
Yeah.
Or virtually
that was Obama's cynical joke on them. I'm going to get you in, but you're going to Minnesota.
You're going to Minnesota?
This is it.
I don't know.
Anyway,
all right, we got people. Let's go to line three. Kevin in Mobile, patiently holding. What do you got for us, Kevin?
Oh, yeah. I tell you, I looked on the taxfoundation.com news for gasoline tax. Shows Alabama ranked 41st right now at 20.91 cents per gallon. Number one, which I was surprised, was Pennsylvania. Of course, number two being California. Here's the biggest problem. When has the state ever had a windfall? Ever. Every time that since we've been born, there's a tax. It's always for some good. It's like, shove the babies out there, save the whales. Now it's going to be road and bridges again. So every tax we've had for the last 10, 15 years has been roads and bridges. Our average road and bridge improvement is over 50 years old in the state of Alabama. So here's the thing. They'll go ahead and they'll pass this through, ramrod it without a vote. Then they're going to sit down and say, we got to get a commission together to see which ones we got to do. As you stated, nothing happens below Montgomery, so we'll get nothing. It'll go all of Montgomery and above. Then we're going to have to sit down and get a commission to say, we can do this one first, this one second. The EPA will get involved and say, oh, you can't do this one because the snard bark will die. For 10 years, they'll raise this money, have a big coffer, and nothing will get done as usual. Shame on you, Kay Ivey. I voted for you. Shame on you for doing this right here.
And you got a good point. If they get a big coffer of money and they don't get it all used right away, what do politicians do when they see a big balance in one of the accounts?
Look what happened with BP right here. You had money going to Huntsville for BP. It was supposed to do this, money now for the last 10 years. Where is it at?
Oh, yeah, no, they took, what, was it 90%? We only got 10% of the BP money in Mobile.
Here's what needs to happen. Performance contracts. Politicians are average Americans that are just lucky enough to be voted in. They need to be on a doggone performance contract, because that's a problem. If you don't perform, no money for you. We need to get in their pocket and say, here's what we're going to do. We'll give you the 10 cents for gas. We're going to take 10% of your paycheck out for the next 10 years. How about that? Who wants to run for office now? That's what we need to do. Hold these clowns accountable right there. Jones, they put him in office. Look what he's done. Okay? Bradley, listen up. You want to run for Senate? You better get with the program. People are looking at you right now. You better get involved on this right now, because everybody wants the votes right now. And this is a tough thing, because in 2 years, or less than 2 years, we're going to be voting again. Okay, are we going to have a Republican Party? Are we going to have a bunch of mealy mouths up there that cow down? We've got to be able to take our state, our county, and our country back right now. What they're doing is they're on their heels, and they're going to get pushed over.
No, listen, they are.
Go out and vote and get in your politician's face and say, no to the new tax. Read my lips. No new tax. Hold them to it.
Right. You got to contact your elected officials. All right, Kevin, thank you for calling in with that passionate response. And,
Good point. I forgot at the
break, I meant to do a shout-out to R. Carter & Associates. I meant to do that at a break. They are they're a great company that helps you with all sorts of chemical cleaning needs, fire suppression. If you need, whether it's sprinklers or fire suppression systems, fire extinguishers, whatever it is, anything you need for safety, chemical cleaning, whatever, they can do it. R. Carter & Associates, you should check those guys out. I meant to give that shout out. I know, because somebody's listening, and I'll be held to account here. All right, look, Taxman is on line one. Taxman, tell us about the gas tax.
All right, let me say this. I was reading in one of our local newspapers recently, Baldwin County sent $22 million of gasoline and diesel tax to Montgomery. $22 million from this little county. Now, the state kept 60%, and
yep,
Baldwin County was supposed to get 40%, which I doubt. I want accountability. Pete, this is another BP ripoff. Your earlier call said it's staying in North Alabama. It damn sure will. I'm voting hell no. I want accountability. How about that, Pete?
No, you're right. That's what we're missing, is accountability on all of this. I mean, it's the accountability of the legislature to properly administer the budget and get it to where it needs to go, and not siphon it off here and there, or present a good plan on how they fix it. And look, I get it. We have a need. The legislature, the state government has proved ineffective, inable, unable, unwilling, whatever it is. They have been unable to do it. And big business says, we need it. We can't wait any longer. This is what you're going to do. And look, they need those big donations to run for office.
That's
so they're
right.
going to do it.
Man, I know all about how they buy those congressmen newly elected. I mean, the senators and so forth, you know.
Yeah.
When you're newly elected, they used to send old Paul Hubbard, rest his soul in hell, he used to send a $10,000 check to a newly elected representative and say, oh, I can't take it, but just help me when you can. And then to a senator, he'd send them $20,000. I'm glad that son of a bitch is gone.
Oh!
Bye.
There you go. There goes the tax man from downtown Fly Creek. Oops.
Okay.
The censors missed that one. But look, this is the, you know, this is where everybody has to be engaged, because the reason that the big business, and they're not wrong for the need, we have the need, but the reason that they wield the power is because too many of the average citizens, we're not paying attention, we're not engaged. So that money, you know, your representative can't come out and talk to you and get all the votes for doing right. He needs that money, or she needs that money to run ads, to send you mailers, because they know you only pay attention the week or two before the election.
Right.
That's a vicious circle, and it really comes back to the people. We're not holding them into account. We're not engaged. We don't know what's going on. And then the other side of it is what I said. This shows that our state government has failed.
Right.
And so big business says we got to solve it.
The lack of trust, and that's why everything in the Alabama budget is earmarked. I mean, you know, they don't have, I mean, literally, the legislature does not have the ability to redo this stuff.
Because they everything's
because
earmarked.
Everything's earmarked. You can't take money from here to use over here.
Nope.
Even though that may be what is necessary.
They
and
can't,
and
they
the reason
can't.
It's earmarked is because we don't trust them to do the right thing.
Yeah.
Sorry. That's the fact.
This is really what this all boils down to, not trusting our state government. Yeah. Well, golly, we're already out of time.
It's that time.
All right. Mardi Gras is over, folks. Go back to work. We're back at work. We're here. Hope you all had a great week. Honey, it is time to come home.